Gumon daf Chof Gimel on base. And we left off with a kasha. We left off with a kasha, if you remember, just very briefly to recap the various stages. It's quite a complicated Gemara. We have a brisa that says that it's also lahashtin in the Beis HaKeses, in the Beis HaKiseh, whilst wearing tefillin, to which the Gemara said, Rava said, that is not the halacha. That is not the halacha. And he maintained that la halacha, it would be muta lahashtim whilst wearing tefillin. All of that was
Okay. You're silent. I can't hear you. Yes, now I can hear you. You blacked out for about a half a minute there. I shouldn't say you did, but your computer did.
Okay, so we had this disproven. Why was it disproven? Because we had, remember, this vague, cryptic riddle. The riddle said that we have something which is osa here and muta elsewhere. And we tried to explain that it was talking about the issue of tefach and tefachim that all fell through. And in the final analysis, we had no choice but to say that it's talking about this very subject. In other words, the issue of the Beis HaKiseh. And what the riddle means is, what's mutter to bring your tefillin in is also, however, to be mashed in. To bring your tefillin into the Beis HaKiseh will be mutter. To actually relieve oneself whilst wearing the tefillin would be osa. That, in the final analysis, was what the Gemara, what the riddle meant. And if that's true, then it turns out that it is indeed osa lahashtim, which is exactly what we learned in the original Braisa. So why did Rava say that is not the halacha? It seems to be, from his riddle, that it is the halacha. That's the way we left off. So the final analysis seems to be that this braisa seems to be teaching me that indeed it is osa lahashtin in the whilst wearing tefillin. Says the Gemara. Omar Rav Sheshes. Sorry, Tiyufta, says the Gemara. The Tiyufta Derahova Omar Sheshes Tiyufta. So it's a kasha. Tiyufta, whenever we use this double lotion of Tiyufta, so it seems to be that he's absolutely disproven. Why did he say that this is not the halacha? It seems to be that it absolutely is the halacha, and it indeed is osa lahashtin whilst wearing tefillin. Says the Gemara, one moment. Mikol mokoim kasha. Nonetheless, we still have a difficulty that we need to contend with. Hashta beis hakise kovua shori. Beis hakise arai loy kolshikin. If in the beis hakise kovua, which is obviously more chomor, it is permitted to bring your tefillin in. So surely, beis hakisei arai, shouldn't that be more lenient, not more strict? Why are you telling me that it's osa lahashtin, which is a beis hakisei arai? If a beis hakisei kavua is muta, why on earth is a beis hakisei arai osa? Says the Gemara, now what this means is as follows. Hochi ka'oma. This is what's meant. Beis hakisei kavua. Deleka nitzoitzes. Shori. Beis hakisei arai. De ike nitzoitzes. Osri. We normally think that what is more chamor, a Beis HaKisei Kavua or Arai, we would surely think that a Beis HaKisei Kavua is more Chamor. Says the Gemara, but actually, in one particular respect, the Beis HaKisei Arai is more Chamor. Why is that? Because the Beis HaKisei Arai, which we've discussed in the past, when a person has relieved himself with Ketanim, there are Nitzotzos, literally translated, and this obviously doesn't mean this over here, literally translated, Nitzotzos means sparks. Here it doesn't mean there, it means splashes. When a person is involved in Meraglayim, then it can splash. Therefore what? Why is that a reason, because of these Nitzotzos, to be more machmir in the Beis HaKisei Arai than the Kavua? So have a look at the Gemara, look at Rashi, on the very last narrow line, the very, very last narrow line. Deleka Nitzotzos. When a person is involved in a Beis HaKisei Kavua, with Gedolim, there's no splashes, as it were. The leka mitzotzos sheyehit sorich leshafshafon. Leshafshon means to rub. There's no splashing, there's nothing to clean, as it were, from his begodim. Nothing's going to splash. The leka mitzotzos sheyehit sorich leshafshafon biyaminoi me'al raglov. With his right hand, he's holding the tefillin in his left hand. He's not going to necessitate, there's going to be no need to use his right hand to now rub any nitzotzos because there are no nitzotzos. But Beis HaKisei Arai lektanim de ikka nitzotzos. When it comes to a Beis HaKisei Arai, then there are indeed these splashes of meraglayim, says Rashi, hanitozin, which will squirt al gabe raglov, on his feet. When a person is being matil meraglaim, there is a chashash that there will be nitzotzos, these droplets of meraglaim on his feet. Va'omrinon b'masechtus Yuma, and the Gemara says in Yuma, mitzvah l'shafshafon. It's a mitzvah to rub off these droplets. Now, why would it be a mitzvah to rub off droplets? Obviously, we understand it's certainly hygienic, and it's probably an issue of cleanliness and being odom l'chaveri, but why is it a mitzvah? Why is it so important to clean off these nitzotzos? So before we see the rest of Rashi, let's just explain, make a brief introduction. We know, this is Psukim in Parashas Kisetze, there are certain members, certain types of people who are not allowed to enter Klal Yisrael, cannot marry Klal Yisrael. So for example, an Amoin, Moav, an Ammonite, a Moabite cannot enter Klal Yisrael. Amalek, Egyptians, etc., etc. In that list, there exists somebody else as well, and that is what we call a Krus Shofcha. A krus shofcha means somebody who is unable to have children. And the simon ledovo, how do we know if somebody is unable to have children? So this is it. If when the meraglayim, or the zera, exits his body, but it does not exit, as it were, in a kiluach. Remember, we used the word kiluach yesterday, which means in a jet. Rather, it just dribbles out. If the meraglayim or the zera dribbles out of his guf, then he will be unable to have children and he cannot marry into Klal Yisrael. Says the Gemara a fascinating thing. If somebody goes to the bathroom to be matil meraglayim and they are now nitzotzos which have splashed on his feet, this will look highly suspicious. Why will it look highly suspicious? Because if these nitzaitzes are on his begadim or on his shoes, then people might think that he's a krushofcha. People might say that it must be that he's unable to have children because you see that the miraglaim left his goof not as a kiluach, but rather apparently just dribbled out. And that would explain why these droplets are to be found upon his shoes. If this person actually has children, then things will go from bad to worse, because what will people say? How on earth does this person have children if there's miraglaim on his shoes? If there's miraglaim on his shoes, that seems to suggest that actually he's incapable of having children. So how did he have children? So do you know what people will say? It must be that these children are mamzerim and his wife committed adultery. That's how severe this chashash is. And now we understand why it's so important to rub off these droplets from his begodim. It's not merely an inyun of cleanliness or hygiene. It's much more serious than that. If you don't rub them off, then there's a serious concern that people will think he's unable to have children. And if he has children, they must apparently be mamzerim. Now let's come back to our subject. If you're holding tefillin in your hand and he wants to relieve himself, so we would have thought that a beis hakise arai should be more lenient than a beis hakise kavua, says the Gemara. In fact, it's the opposite. Do you remember yesterday where after decoding this riddle, what did the riddle say? The riddle said, what's muta here is also there. Very vague. In the final analysis, what did that mean? It's muta in the Beis Hakise kavua, but it's also in the Beis Hakise arai. To which the Gemara, do you remember the Gemara yesterday said that there was a huge, huge kasha on that? And the Gemara called it a kal v'chomer she'ein oleho tshuva. What is that kal v'chomer? Now we understand the kal v'chomer. The kal v'chomer is that, one moment, this doesn't make sense. How can it be that the Beis Hakise arai is more strict than the Beis Hakise kavua? It's a kal v'chomer. If in the Beis Hakise kavua it is permitted, then it should certainly be permitted in the Beis Hakise arai. Now we have the answer as well. Yes, you're right. Normally we would consider a Beis Hakise arai as more lenient. But here it's more chamor. Why is it more chamor? Because there is one particular chashash that exists only in the Beis Hakise arai, and it doesn't exist in the Beis Hakise kavua. And what is that chashash? Like we just said, there are nitzotzos, which he must rub off. Otherwise, it will start rumors. People will think his children are mamzerim. But one moment, he's holding his tefillin in his hand. How on earth is he going to rub with his hands the shoes, his begadim? He won't be able to. And if he won't be able to, that's why it's awesome. In a Beis Hakise kavua, where there are no nitzotzos, so even if he's holding, remember, we're not talking about actually wearing the tefillin, we're talking about bringing the tefillin into the Beis Hakise, holding them in his hand. Now, obviously, if he's holding them in his hand and he then wants to go and relieve himself, will that be a problem or not? And the answer is, essentially, to relieve oneself whilst holding a tefillin in his hand is not a problem. Wearing the tefillin, that would be a problem. But holding the tefillin is not a problem. What is the problem? You might need to then rub off the miraglaim from your begodim with your hands. That will then be a bizayon if in fact you are holding the tefillin in his hand. So what's more chamor? will actually be more machmir in a beis akise arai than we will in a beis akise kavua. So everything has now come to a perfect circle. The braisa that we learned said it's osa lahashtim. One may not be matil miraglayim ktanim whilst holding the tefillin. Yes, that is the halacha. But one second, how can that be the halacha? If in the beis akise kavua it's muta, the beis akise arai is osa? And the answer is yes. A beis akise arai in this particular aspect is more chomor. Why is it more chomor? Because of the nitzotzeitz which you're going to have to rub off, and that will be a bezayin for the tefillin. So look again at that Rashi on the first wide line. The ikka nitzotzeitz. There are, literally translated, as we said, sparks, but it means there are these droplets. Hanitozin al gabe raglov, which might then squirt onto his feet. V'omrinon b'masechtas yuma. And we say in the Gemara in Yuma, it's not just a nice, hygienic thing to rub them off. Rather, it is a mitzvah, underline the word mitzvah. It is a chiv, it is a mitzvah l'shav shafon. You have to rub them off. Why must you rub it off? Why is it so important? She'osur la'odom. It is forbidden for a person, she'yetze, that he should exit the Beis HaKisei, b'nitzotzeit shel gabei raglov. He is not allowed to exit the Beis HaKisei with these nitzotzeit on his feet. Why? Because of hygiene reasons? No, much worse. Shemo yiroe, because perhaps he will appear. Kikrus shofcha. Krus shofcha, as we said, is this person who is incapable of having children, and this would seem to be the symptom. The nimtza, and it will turn out that moitzi la'az al bonov. There will be rumors about his children. La'az is rumors. There will be rumors. Why will there be rumors? Because people will say, one moment, he clearly is incapable of having children, and yet he has children. So what will they say? Shehi mamzerim. They obviously, they were born out of wedlock, and he's in fact not the real father. Therefore, there is a mitzvah to rub them off, but hilkoch i'efshe le'echoyis tefillin b'yadai. That's why it is impossible, it's also for him to wear, to be holding the tefillin in his hand, because how on earth is he going to rub off the mitzotzeit if he's got tefillin in his hand? So therefore, it turns out, the final maskana is that yes, holding the tefillin in your hand in a beis akise kavua is actually muta. Not to wear the tefillin, to hold the tefillin in your hand. Whereas if it is a beis akise arai, it'll actually be osa. Even though that sounds counterintuitive, how can that be that a beis akise arai, which means ketanim, how can ketanim be worse than gedolim? But we've just now explained that yes, it's worse than gedolim. Because when it comes to ketanim, there is this chashash of nitzotzeis. So everything makes sense. There's only one remaining problem, and with this, the sugya comes to a complete close. What is the one remaining problem? Remember yesterday we had a riddle. What was the riddle? The riddle said, what's muta here is osa there. Have we cracked the riddle? We definitely have. What's muta in the Beis HaKise kavua is osur in the Beis HaKise arai. Fine, wonderful. But you remember, as we just mentioned a moment ago, the Gemara said that there is a big kasha on this riddle. There's a kal v'chomer, she'ein oleh al tshuva, which has no retort. What's the kasha? The kasha is, it's counterintuitive. How can that possibly be that a beis akise kavua is muta, and yet a beis akise arai is muta? Doesn't make sense. A beis akise arai is osa. How can that be? One second. Why did we say that it has no retort? We've just given a perfectly valid retort. Does it make sense? Is it counterintuitive? It might well be counterintuitive, but we have an explanation now. Yes, it sounds rather strange for a Beis HaKisei Kavua to be more lenient than a Beis HaKisei Arai. So I understand that you have this Kal V'chomer, but why are you saying Ein Oleho Tshuva? This is an irrefutable Kal V'chomer. It's the unanswerable question, which was given a beautiful answer. What is the answer? That yes, of course, under ordinary circumstances, normally a Beis HaKisei Arai is more lenient. Over here, it's more machmen because of the netzotzis. Look at the Gemara. Says the Gemara, first words on the line, Ihochi, if so, am I? Why did you say, quote unquote, Ein Olav Tshuva? Why did you say Ein Olav Tshuva? Tshuva ma'alaisa hi, question mark. What does Tshuva ma'alaisa mean? We have a perfectly good answer. Why did you say there's a question with no answer? I understand the question, but don't tell me there's no answer. We've just given an answer. We've given a perfectly valid answer. The question was a great question. It really does sound strange. How can it's a Kal V'chomer? If in the Beis HaKisei Kavua it's Muta, surely in the Beis HaKisei Arai should certainly be Muta. Great question. But there's no answer? There is an answer. We've just given an answer. So why are you telling me there's no answer? Says the Gemara, Hochi Ka'omar. This is what was meant. When we said that there's no answer, this is what we mean. Ha Milsa. This particular matter, whether you can or can't have your tefillin in the Beis HaKisei, Arai and Kavua, Teisi Lo, bring it, Betoiras Ta'amo. First, let's translate and then we'll explain. Bring it based on reasoning. But v'loi teisila b'kal v'chomer. Don't bring it based on a kal v'chomer. If you try to prove this with a kal v'chomer, then indeed you're going to fall flat. Why? Says the Gemara. In conclusion, de'i asyalo. Because if you bring it based on a kal v'chomer, b'teres kal v'chomer, then indeed ze kal v'chomer sheid olav tshuva. There's no answer. In other words, imagine you are now at the end of today's shiur, you are asked to give a short halachic announcement in Beis Knesses Hagra or in Eish Kodesh. Fine. So you banged on the bima and you said, Moirai v'raboisa, I'd like to tell you the following halacha. You are allowed to enter a Beis HaKisei Kavua with your tefillin in your hand and be excused. And that was the end of your subject. That was the end of your announcement. So what would people think to themselves? People would think to yourselves, one second, if you said that it's mute in a Beis HaKisei Kavua, it's true, you never finished off the sentence. You never told us what the halach would be with regard to Beis HaKisei Arai, but it's a kal v'chomer, it must be muta. After all, if a Beis HaKisei Kavua is muta, kal v'chomer Beis HaKisei Arai would be muta. Isn't that what everybody would say? Perfectly valid kal v'chomer. And that's what the Gemara is saying. Don't try and work out this halacha based on a kal v'chomer. Because if you base it on a kal v'chomer, you're going to end up with the wrong conclusion. If you want to demonstrate this halacha, demonstrate it with reasoning, not with a kal v'chomer. Meaning, if you want to give your brief halachic shir, say, Meira v'raboisai, a beis hakisei kavua is muta. Do you know what the reason is? Because there are no nitzotzos. Ah, if you say it like that, then nobody will make a mistake. What will everybody be medayik? In a beisa kise kavua, it is muta because there are no nitzotzeis. Oh, you mean in a beisa kise arai, it would be osur because there are nitzotzeis. Precisely. So you've got to explain the reasoning. But if you merely present the facts and then allow people to work it out on a kal vachomer, they will reach the wrong conclusion. That's what we meant. It's a kal vachomer she'ein oleho tshuva. When we said the kal vachomer has no answer, we didn't mean that there's no explanation. We meant don't leave it as a kal vachomer. Because if you work it out on the basis of a kal vachomer, people will reach the wrong conclusion. You must give the reasoning.
Do Talmidei Chachamim struggle with every kal vachomer in that way?
Yes, because, as we said this morning in davening, Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, Bishloish Esrei Midos HaTeira Nidreshes Bohen, and one of them is a kal vachomer. A kal vachomer is one of the midos by which we decode the Torah. Therefore, if you tell me that a beis akise kavua is muta, it must be that a beis akise arai is also muta. It's a kal vachomer. That's why we're so concerned that people will necessarily arrive at this erroneous conclusion. Because a kal vachomer is a legitimate way of making a drasha. So therefore, the only way to alleviate the possibility of making a mistake is you've got to give the reasoning. When you give your public shiur on tefillin, you've got to say, Meirav Raboisai, Abeis Akisei Kavua, it is muta to enter, holding the tefillin in your hand, and then be excused. Because there are no nitzotzeis, you have to give that explanation. Once you give that explanation, what will people say? Ah, because there are no nitzotzeis, from which we can be medayek that a beis akise arai, where there are nitzotzeis, it would be osur for reasons we explained before. So let's have a look at the Gemara one more time, and then we'll see the Rashi. First word on the line, ihochi. If so, amai, why did you say, quote unquote, ein olav tshuva? Why did you say that there's no answer to this question? There is an answer. Shuva ma'alai sehi. There's a perfectly good answer, question mark. Says the Gemara, hachi ka'omar. This is what was meant. Ha milsa. This particular subject of tefillin in the Beis HaKisei, teisilo, bring it. Betoiras ta'amo. With the reasoning, you've got to explain the reasoning. But v'loy teisilo b'kal v'chayma. Don't let people make conclusions based on a kal v'chayma. Why? De'i asya lo b'teiras kal v'chayma. Because if they try and prove it based on logic, then ze kal v'chayma she'en olav tshuva, then there's no answer. How can it be a beis akisei kavua is more kal, doesn't make any sense. So you've got to give the reasoning. You've got to give the reasoning. Look at Rashi on the third wide line. Ha milsa, this particular matter that we're discussing, which matter? The tefillin, the beis akisei, arai v'kavua. That's the subject matter. So a sign will go up the shul, shir given on the following subject, tefillin in the Beis HaKisei. Says the Gemara, if you want to give a shir like that, that's fine. But teisi lo b'toiras tama. You've got to bring the reasoning. You've got to explain that lahatir b'Beis HaKisei kavua, that which is mutter in the Beis HaKisei kavua, es ha'osur b'Beis HaKisei arai, that which is actually forbidden in the Beis HaKisei Arai, you've got to say, Mishum Tama Denitzaitzais. You've got to point out that the reason is because of the Nitzaitzais. You've got to explain that. Why? De'i Asyelo B'teiras Kal V'chayma. Because if you're going to try and bring it with a Kal V'chayma, Loima, if you're going to say as follows, Din Hu, it is a din. What does a din mean? A din in this context means it's a kal v'chayma. People will say, if you're going to say it's a kal v'chayma, lahokel b'beis hakisei arai, kal, or lahachmir b'beis hakisei chamur, if you base yourself on a kal v'chayma, what is always the mechanics of a kal v'chayma? You've got to work out what is kal and what is chamur. So let me give you an example. Imagine I would tell you, listen, there's a certain mitzvah. If you want to know whether there's an obligation to be mekayim the mitzvah, here I've got two people in front of me, a child and an adult. One is obligated and one is not obligated. So what would everybody say? Who's the kal and who's the chamor? Obviously, the child is the kal and the adult is the chamor. So what will everybody say? If one is permitted and one is osa, surely the child is the kal, it's muta, and the adult is the chamor, so it's osa. That's what the Gemara is saying over here as well. We had the riddle. Remember the riddle? What's muta over here is osa over here. So what is everybody going to say? Ah, okay. One place is muta, one place is asa. Which is more kal, the beis hakisei arai or the beis hakisei kavua? Surely the arai is more kal. Ah, it must be, that's what the riddle meant. But it's muta in the beis hakisei arai and it's asa in the beis hakisei kavua. That's the obvious kal v'chayma. It might be obvious, but it's wrong. That's what Rashi says. People are going to say, the Beit Lahokir, the Beis Akisei Arai Kal. Surely you can be lenient in the Beis Akisei, which is more Kal. Or Lahachmer Beis Akisei Kavua Chomor. Veloi Tezel Boso Taima. They will not follow the reasoning. Elo Boso Chumra Vakula. They will just try and work out scientifically, mathematically, which one is more chomor, which one is more kal. Very nice, but they're going to get to the wrong conclusion. Va'anan avdinon ipcha. And yet we hold the opposite. And therefore, if you only base yourself on kal and chomor, ein li olav ma'la hashivcha, then I'll have no way of answering it. If you merely bring onto the table the factors of kal and chomor, yes, then it makes no sense. If you're not prepared to examine the reasoning, then I'm afraid to tell you, Rabbi Isai, everything we've learned in the last 2 or 3 days makes no sense. Because kal v'chomor, surely the Beis HaKisei should be more kal if it's arai. So I have no answer. If you're not prepared to listen to the reasoning, ein li tshuva, then I have no retort. She'ein li limtsoi, says Rashi, I cannot find a reason. She'ei b'shum moko in beis hakisei arai. I've never found that a beis hakisei arai is chomor min hakavua. How can that be? I've never found such a precedent. She'uchal lo hashivcha, that I'll be able to answer you. I have no answer. Im hitarati b'kavua, she'uchal b'dova ployni, Natir b'shel arai shu chomor bo. I've never found such a precedent. Avol taima ikka. But there is a reason behind it. Yes, it might look strange, but there is a rationale behind it. Lamai d'avdinon d'hocha. Lamai d'avdinon, there is a rationale for what we're doing. D'hocha ikka nitzaitzaitz. Over here in the Beis HaKisei Arai, there are the Chashash of Netzaitzes. V'hocha leka. And yet in the Beis HaKisei Kavua, there isn't. V'dova zeh lav kal v'chayma. Loi kal v'loi chomor. This is not an issue of what is kal and what is chomor. Rather, what is the issue? Yes, Netzaitzes or not Netzaitzes. And that's what the Gemara is saying. When you give the shear, don't present the factors as kal and chomor. It'll end up a big mess. You'll have no way of explaining it. Rather say, forget kal, forget chamur. Those have nothing to do with it. What has everything to do with it? Here, there are netzotzos. There, there are no netzotzos. Therefore, the beis akisei kavua, it is muta, and the beis akisei arai, it is also. And that, my friends, is the end of the sugya. So, Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we'll try and continue beis Hashem.
Oh.
Wonderful day, everybody.
It's good.